Naeem versus Mukasey, or now Philip.
May it please the court. My name is Ronald Ng, and I represent the petitioners in this case, Mrs. Afshin Naeem and her children. This case involves a petition for two petitions for review of the denial of asylum. Mrs. Naeem fears that she will be persecuted if she returns to Pakistan due to her husband's close relationship to an ethnic Memon leader named Abdul Aziz Memon, who was a former member of the National Assembly. The authorities threatened to arrest, imprison, and further harm Mrs. Naeem if her husband, Mohammed, did not return to Pakistan and provide a false statement accusing Memon of official corruption and embezzlement. It was at that point that she fled to the United States with her children. The main incidents of harm, the most serious ones, occurred in the 10 days immediately before they left Pakistan. The Federal Investigative Agency and the National Accountability Bureau sent officers to search the homes of both Mrs. Naeem and her mother. They destroyed furniture and personal property and terrorized the family. Mrs. Naeem was grabbed by the hair and struck in the face by an officer. Another officer struck her 5-year-old son with so much force that he was thrown across the room. They then took her to FIA headquarters, where they detained her and interrogated her for 3 hours. There were repeated threats to arrest and imprison her on false charges and to jail her children with her if her husband did not comply. She was told that the only way that she could save herself and her children was if her husband became a prosecution witness against Memon. The petitioners contend that the harm that they suffered, the emotional trauma that was caused, and the threats of imprisonment and other more serious harm that were made against them cumulatively constitute persecution and reasonably gave rise to a well-founded fear of persecution, especially in light of the expansive powers of the NAB and the purpose that this organization was established for. Documentary evidence shows that the NAB has as one of its principal purposes the targeting and suppression of political opponents and their supporters by bringing false charges of corruption against them in order to discredit them and disqualify them from holding public office. The documentary evidence also shows that the NAB has nearly unlimited power to detain an individual without charge for an indefinite period, and that there's no right to counsel, no right to bail, that a presumption of guilt applies in NAB proceedings.
Can we go back first to whether we even have jurisdiction to consider the motion to reconsider?
Yes. Your Honor, there are two petitions for review which were consolidated into the present case. The petition for review that you're referring to is the second petition for review, which was filed, I believe, in June or July this year, seeking review of a motion to reconsider, which the Naeems filed concurrently at the same time as their first petition for review to this court. And you're referring to this court's ruling in Kuchana versus Mukasey, where it was held that the court lacked jurisdiction to review the denial of a motion to reopen, which did not present a question of law or a constitutional issue. Our position is that the Naeem's second petition for review is distinguishable from the decision and the facts in Kuchana. In Kuchana, the alien was ordered removed in absentia in 1987. He then filed a motion to reopen, which was denied by the BIA. Then, nearly 10 years later, he filed a second motion to reopen, claiming changed conditions in Albania, which the BIA also denied. He did not file a petition for review on either the initial order of removal or the first motion to reopen, but filed a petition for review on the second motion to reopen, which this court held it did not have jurisdiction to review.
To review the denial?
Yes.
Because that's where I'm wondering here. In our case, we've got a grant.
Yes.
And they considered it. And so the issue of nobody's challenging the fact that they granted it. That's
right.
A discretionary decision. So I wonder if that makes any difference here.
Yes, we believe that it does. There are two main differences between this case and the Kuchana decision. First of all, Naeem's filed a timely petition for review on the BIA's first order, which dismissed their asylum appeal. They filed a timely petition for review of that case. And then the second key difference is that, as Your Honor has noted, the BIA did not deny the Naeem's motion to reconsider. They granted the Naeem's motion to reconsider and issued a new decision in which they attempted to address new issues raised in the motion, which the board acknowledged that it had not previously considered. Under these facts, we believe that the second petition for review, the decision on the motion to reconsider should be viewed as being supplemental to the board's initial decision, over which this court clearly has jurisdiction to review under the exception for asylum cases. We believe that the facts in this case show a clear escalation in the actions of the government to compel Muhammad to provide testimony against Maman, and that it was reasonable under these circumstances for Mrs. Naeem to believe that the NAB would actually carry out their threats, that she would be prosecuted and that she and her children would be harmed. In finding that asylum should not be granted in this case, the BIA committed several major errors. The first error, we believe, is that the BIA initially disregarded and failed at any time to fully acknowledge the political purpose and the nature of the NAB. And this error tainted their entire view of the harm, what was done to the Naeems. If the political nature of NAB investigations is properly taken into account, it suggests with a high degree of certainty that what happened to the Naeems was not an illegal investigation of possible criminal activity, as the immigration judge and the BIA has supposed, but more likely to be persecution, which had been specifically directed at the Naeems due to their relationship to Mama. The second argument that we would make is that the board's finding that Mrs. Naeem and her children do not have a well-founded fear of persecution at the present time is not based on substantial evidence in the record, but rather on a mischaracterization of Mrs. Naeem's testimony by the government attorney when she cross-examined Mrs. Naeem. A careful review of the record shows that at no time previously in her direct testimony did Mrs. Naeem indicate that the corruption case against Maman for which her husband was sought had been completed. However, due to an apparent misunderstanding of what she was being asked, she answered affirmatively when the government attorney attempted to summarize her testimony by asking her whether it was her testimony that the case against Maman had been completed, that he had been prosecuted and had completed his sentence.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Mack. Good morning, Your Honors. Counsel, may it please the Court. My name is Greg Mack, Counsel for the Attorney General of the United States. The record evidence does not compel the conclusion that the application for relief should be reversed. Due to an event involving a three-hour detention by police, petitioner, who was never active in politics and who had never been detained or arrested previously, sought asylum, withholding of removal, and protection under the Convention Against Torture. She claims that she belongs to an ethnic group and that her husband's association with the leader of this ethnic group led to the alleged persecution in Pakistan and raises a well-founded fear of future persecution. However, a single brief detention does not amount to past persecution. The claims made before the immigration judge and the board were that Mr. and Mrs. Minam had been arrested, convicted, and imprisoned in Pakistan, which cuts against petitioner's request for an application for well-founded fear of future persecution. Petitioner and her husband were not members of the immediate family of Mr. or Mrs. Minam, and the board reasonably confined the relevant group for a pattern and practice claim to the immediate family of Mr. Minam. And permitting too broad a class of individuals to raise a pattern and practice claim risks creating an indeterminate, open-ended, and ever-expanding pool of applicants for asylum and withholding of removal. So the immigration judge and the board in this case appropriately denied relief, and we would urge the court to deny the petitions in this case. The harassment in this case by the police and the authorities in Pakistan does not rise to the level of persecution, and the conviction and sentencing of the Mimans means Naeem's fear of returning to Pakistan is not objectively reasonable, where the object of the government's focus here in Pakistan was allegedly to pursue Mr. Minam and arrest him, prosecute him, and sentence and imprison him. Since those events, as presented to the immigration judge and the board, have passed, that is, Mr. Minam, the object of the Pakistani authorities' focus here, no longer exists, that again cuts against petitioner's claims that she has a well-founded fear of future persecution in this case. Now, petitioners had claimed before that the board erred in not cumulatively reviewing the evidence here. However, Mrs. Naeem, the petitioner in this case, was not married to the male, her husband, when he was previously dealt with by the Pakistani authorities. So the board and the immigration judge were not presented with a cumulative case here. They were presented with a singular incident involving the petitioner here. Mr. and Mrs. Minam were married approximately in 1996, and the incident before the court here occurs in 2002. During that six-year period, there's no evidence that Mrs. Minam was approached by the authorities, or indeed that Mrs. Naeem, the petitioner here, was approached by authority, or that Mr. Naeem was approached by the authorities from the period of 1996 when he was dealt with by the authorities to this current incident that is before the court. Now, Mrs. Naeem, the petitioner here, did not present evidence on the emotional impact or the physical impact of this case. Certainly, there's no doubt that in the testimony here that she was arrested and detained for 3 hours, slapped, and her child was pushed aside. But I don't believe there was any evidence presented to the immigration judge or to the board of any lasting effects from this particular incident. Certainly, there could be lasting effects, but no documentary evidence, to my knowledge, was presented to the immigration judge or to the board in this case with respect to that harm.
What evidence was presented regarding the escalating nature of the violence before she left Pakistan?
What was presented to the immigration judge right. was this singular incident. There wasn't really evidence of an escalating nature. Certainly, she's presented an affidavit to the immigration judge that laid out the history with respect to her husband, but I don't believe it was presented in the nature of an escalating effect. And if we look at the evidence here with respect to her husband, who, if you will, is sort of the lead petitioner here, if you will, the husband was dealt with under the Bhutto regime. She was dealt with respect to the NAB and the FIA under the Musharraf regime. And we would submit to the court, there's no connection between what went on with her husband under the Bhutto regime and what went on with her in this singular incident. Again, what happened and transpired with her husband under the Bhutto regime was under the Bhutto regime and occurred prior to their marriage. And there was no evidence that there were any further incidents with the authorities in Pakistan during that period before they got married. And what we again have here is a singular incident involving the FIA and the NIB with respect to the female petitioner here. And we would suggest to the court that the board is entitled to deference with respect to its pattern and practice determination here, because what they found was the right group to focus on was the immediate family of Mr. and Mrs. Mimon, that their son-in-law, Mr. Haroom, was within that immediate family, and therefore they drew a line around the immediate family and reasonably concluded in a decision entitled deference here, that the relevant group there was the immediate family, and this female petitioner and her children were not within that group. And further, the evidence here didn't suggest that there were other individuals or associates of Mr. Mimon who had faced similar incidents. There's a partnership agreement in the record that indicates Mr. Haroom was partners with the petitioner's husband here. There's no other evidence in the record here that those other partners were harassed in a way that the female petitioner here was. So we would suggest to the court that evidence also suggests that the record doesn't compel a contrary conclusion in this case. And we would urge the court, unless there's any further questions, to deny the petition for review.
And you basically agree with their position on the jurisdictional issue?
Yes, we do, Your Honor. I think what the board did here in the second decision was grant the motion to reconsider and make a determination on the merits. So we would suggest that decision is also subject to substantial evidence review to review whether the record compels a contrary conclusion. If the board, on the other hand, had denied the motion to reconsider, we would be looking at it for abuse of discretion. But they filed timely petitions for review of both decisions. Both decisions are before the court, and the court can look at both decisions of the board here.
No, what they denied, though, then that gets into this issue of whether that's a discretionary decision and we even have jurisdiction.
Well, what they denied, is for what I can recall, they denied a motion to reconsider because it was untimely. And from what I can see in their briefs, they're not disputing that. They're disputing the board's decision on the merits with respect to whether
they granted the motion to reconsider.
Well, no, they denied the motion to reconsider because they said it was 30 days late. But they looked at the evidence in terms of a motion to reopen as to whether they were presenting a prima facie case of additional evidence. And they took up the argument that they had made a pattern and practice claim. So the board made a decision in the merits in that regard. But if you look at the board's decision, they denied, the petitioners are advancing a motion to reconsider, we're denying that motion because it's untimely. It's beyond the 30-day window. But nonetheless, we're going to go forward and look at it in terms of a motion to reopen and see whether they presented evidence sufficient to send this case back to the immigration judge. So the board made another decision on the merits with respect to their pattern and practice claims. The board says, you didn't present a pattern and practice claim below, but since it's closely related to your particular social group claim that was made to the immigration judge, we're going to go ahead and consider it. So you have a merits decision from both board decisions here that are before the court. The government isn't advancing any jurisdictional bar to the second decision by the board.
Thank you, Mr. Mack.
Thank you, Your Honors.
I'll give you 1 minute, Mr. Mack. Your time has expired.
Okay. In Dan Dan versus Ashcroft, this court stated that persecution may be found based on one brief episode of detention or abuse, the rationale being that it would be unreasonable to require an asylum applicant to linger in the country of persecution to accumulate additional incidents in order to qualify for asylum under the statute. This court has also cautioned against viewing events in isolation rather than the patterns that they comprise. We believe that the relevance of the 1996 incident that was referred to by opposing counsel is that it clearly illustrates the danger that this relationship to Maman could have. It was under a different regime, but the reason that Mrs. Naeem's future husband was arrested, detained, and tortured was because of his relationship to Maman and his support for his opposition to efforts by Zardari to privatize the United Bank.
Thank you. Thanks to both counsel. Case is taken under advisement. We move to the